your homepage.
A connection.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. David, hello. It's not Sarge. David, go hello. David, hello? Hey, what's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. And the name's Jason, not David.
All right, well, it's Bird answering
slap
the phones.
Bird, slap Bird in the head. when you guys move to the new radio station, are we still going to be subjected to those god-awful CBS Sports Minutes?
Not outside the morning show. but yes, you will in the morning show.
Oh, man. All right, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, just you guys.
Yeah, because of our affiliation with Boomer Esiason.
With Booms, yeah.
Is the reasoning behind that. But yeah, when I come back from vacation, the first, I'll be there right that Thursday.
You've been over there yet?
I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't either.
I was there a couple of weeks ago.
You were there?
Yeah, because I won tickets, had to pick them up.
Oh, you got the free ticket Friday happening.
That's right, buddy.
Nice. What'd you win?
Our new sister station, 102.5, their country fest.
Oh, you're
so
right.
I won tickets to that. It's outside of Fenway.
It's the one place where there's a bunch of attractive women in Boston. It's like a comet that comes through.
Well, it was at Fenway behind on Lansdowne Street. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, because it was nice. Nice facility, though.
You had to go get your tickets over there.
Yes.
Huh.
So because the one at Foxborough, it's supposed to be this like premonition where there's like all of a sudden all these hot chicks running around Boston.
Oh yeah,
and you're
oh, really?
Like,
yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is weird.
Uh-huh.
all right, so Billy Jaffe was at my house yesterday, and I bring that up for one reason is that A, he didn't maul me like he had the prior time I saw him when he mauled me and then slapped me. In an aggressive manner.
Very emasculating is what
it was. Tremendously emasculating.
Is how you characterize it.
It was tremendously emasculating. But we were talking, and he was very frustrated about people undervaluing Tory Krug. And he didn't care about the players that they've lost. He didn't think that they lost anyone of any substance, including... what's his face?
Riley Nash.
Riley Nash. He thought Riley Nash is a great guy, but he got overpaid. So he says that people are overvaluing Tory Krug, and that if you get rid of Krug... undervaluing Tory Krug, and that a lot of teams would want him. And he contends that the team needs a third center. And he says that they're lined up now because after Char retires... they got a kid that he thinks is going to play next to McAvoy. He says Carlo's a second or third pairing defenseman.
Oh, boy.
Which makes you think maybe Carlo is a trade chip. But, Jones, you're in the camp that they're missing out, that they need to do a little bit more.
Well, I think... So I actually don't disagree with his characterization on Krug, by the way.
Right.
Like, I thought, if you remember the discussion around the trade deadline last year when they got that guy Holden... It had been framed in certain circles that, oh, this guy is a top four guy and he's going to take Krug's minutes. And I never understood that. Like, he's one of the better offensive defensemen in the league. And maybe he's not great in his own zone, but if you're carrying the puck and you're piling up points at one end, like, I'll take some deficiency at the other end.
Right.
So I happen to agree with his characterization on Krug. I would not agree with his overall characterization of the offseason. Like, you wanted Kovalchuk, you didn't get him. You wanted Tavares,
you
didn't get him.
Did you want Kovalchuk?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Because Kovalchuk scares the hell out of me.
Okay, so you would know better, right? You were in Atlanta when he was down there?
No. He was great in Atlanta, so that doesn't... I don't know better than anyone. I mean, he played in the KHL. I have no idea what the hell he was doing. I know he put up good numbers, but just 35 years old and giving a contract like that...
Okay, so the third year would scare me. I admit the third year would scare me, but I did want him.
He's also out of the league for what, 3 years?
He's been out 5 years.
5 years, yeah.
But when he was a point-per-game player when he was here. He's 35, true. But I don't know. I mean, Toronto gave out that same contract to Patrick Marleau last year. You know, Marleau looked okay in the series against the Bruins. You might be paying for it in year three, but They need help in their top six.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Krug is a means of getting that. And if you're telling me Panarin or someone like that, and I heard Jaffe the other morning with you guys say he doesn't think Panarin's even available. But if you're going to turn Krug into, like, Panarin, I get it. If you're just going to deal off Krug and try to plaster over other parts of the roster, I really don't get that. And I think they've had a pretty poor offseason to this point. And look, maybe losing Riley Nash isn't the end of the world, but I don't think they got better. You know, maybe going from Khudobin to Halak is spinning your tires. It feels like a downgrade to me. Halak's numbers were horrible last year.
Yeah, but the idea is Halak had that terrible defense in front of him, and that Halak, well, here's what I like about Halak, and that I've heard.
He can start, right?
Right. That he, like, if Rask screws up, instead of Khudobin, you know, starting three games in a row, like, you can go, Halak's playing.
Yep.
Like, he's going to play. He's our starting goaltender.
Sure. Well,
like,
no one...
there's that opportunity where it wasn't there with Khudobin.
Maybe. I mean, that's what people are saying, except no one paid him to be a starter, and he's barely making more than Khudobin. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that, too. The numbers were bad last year. Maybe it's because he was on the island. Maybe the defense in front of him was horrible.
No, listen, he wasn't paid to be a starting goaltender, and it's obvious that, you know, they signed him. I think that they value him more than they valued Khudobin, and that's why they let Khudobin go and signed him.
So let's even say it's you know, spinning your tires
fine
to a moderate improvement.
Fair
I just
enough.
They have a gaping hole in their top six that they have not replaced. The teams around them have gotten better. I mean, Tampa Bay got better at the deadline last year and kept McDonough. Toronto now has Tavares, who you wanted.
Yeah.
So teams around you are getting better. I would argue the Bruins have gotten worse, but at bare minimum, you know, they are in the same spot they were in while other teams have passed them by. It just feels like they need to do something, and I'm still waiting.
And
so
they have so much collateral.
Well, they should, right, with all their prospects.
I mean, you have too many. I mean, there's at some point. Something's got to give.
Well, they had cap space. What frustrates me is they had cap space, and it feels like they've almost used it all up. And I look at the team, and I'm like, I don't think they're any better. They used up 8 of the $12 million that they've had, and now you're to a point where you got to trade Krug to get a top six guy. Why couldn't you sign a top six guy?
Right.
So I'm a little frustrated by that. It doesn't feel like they're better. Their cap space went like that. If Sweeney makes a move, then I'll eat my words and I'll give him credit for it. But right now, it's been a poor offseason, in my opinion.
Yeah, right now, it does seem like they've been spinning their tires, and that the two teams in front of them. And listen, they could be the third best team in the conference and still get screwed, obviously, because of the division that they're in. But the thing that is frustrating to me, and there's time, is that they just have so much collateral to move, and they have to. There's not enough places on the roster for all of it. And not all these guys are going to pan out.
Well, I mean, that's what I think. You know,
it's like the same thing with baseball is that, like, if you got a bunch of kids, you know, and you're not the Red Sox now. Now, if I'm the Red Sox, no. but if I, you know, if I'm the Braves from, you know, and I have 20 kids in my system that people think are going to be good, I mean, you got to give up a couple of those to get someone who's establish themselves, and that's what I'm hoping that they
do. And in fairness, I don't think the move worked, but I like that Sweeney was at least bold at the deadline. And he said, we're going to give up a couple of prospects. We're going to give up a first-round pick. We're going to try to contend. And he went out and got Rick Nash. I don't really think that move worked.
It didn't work, but I liked it, too.
Yeah, so at least Sweeney's shown he can be bold. He's not. I made this comparison a million times. You just brought up baseball. Ben Cherington, to me, never would trade prospects. He'd just sit there on a pile of prospects, and they're not all going to pan out.
Right.
In fact, Dombrowski's kind of proved all those guys don't pan out. He hasn't traded anybody. He's gutted the entire farm system, but I don't think he's traded any prospect that's come back to bite them. I mean, Travis Shaw he traded, but that wasn't a prospect.
Like, right.
I don't know how many of those guys have come back to bite him. I was
not
afraid
yet.
Sweeney was going to be Cherington, and he was just going to sit on all these prospects, never move them. When the guys don't pan out, you've lost out on value there.
And maybe he's a little gun-shy because his free agent signings have been terrible.
They have been terrible, but at least with Nash, he was bold. It didn't work, but he was bold.
I liked what he did with Nash.
Me too.
I liked that they were playing to win. But maybe he's a little gun-shy because, I mean, his free agent signings have been just terrible.
Backus,
Bielski, and the kid from here.
Oh, Hayes.
Hayes.
Yeah. They traded and then signed him. I forgot they signed him. Yeah,
they signed him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, apparently they haven't learned. The New York Post floated the other day they might sign Hayes' brother.
Kevin?
Yes, or well, trade for. I forget if it was a trade or signing, but the New York Post said they might be in on another Hayes.
What could go wrong?
He's actually not bad, though. Yeah, a lot better than Jimmy Hayes.
Well, Jimmy Hayes wasn't bad. I mean, Jimmy Hayes was supposed to be a huge physical presence that decided not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's from Dorchester, though, so he's going to...
Apparently, he's not a fan of the station, is what I've heard. I've heard that from no one credible, but I heard that he would listen to the station and get super pissed off.
Yeah.
And to which I would say, dude, what do you want people to say?
Yeah, just play better.
It's a you played like garbage.
Right. Yeah, just don't suck and we won't say it. Yeah. If you play well, then we compliment you. When you suck, you kind of got to hear about it.
It wasn't like unwarranted.
Yeah, that starts with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like David Price. Oh, they're so mean. Yeah, well, pitch better.
Yeah.
Not that hard.
And the thing that about Price, and I've said it a million times, is like if you can't handle this town now with Brady puts out an emoji. He saw some bear in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
That's bigger than Price.
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard's bigger than Price. Where LeBron James went is bigger than Price. Kyrie Irving's future with the Celtics is bigger than Price. Edelman's suspension is bigger than Price. I mean, you are so far down the list. If you never talked, if David Price never talked, people would just be like, oh, yeah, he sucked against the Yankees the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's so...
No, he puts himself out there. Yeah.
That he's this big talking point in town when he's really not.
He makes himself the target.
Yeah. If you sat here every day as a radio host and broke down David Price and broke down the Red Sox, you'd be out of a job.
Right.
I mean, dude, it's July. Enjoy yourself. Like, he sucked against the Yankees. Fine. Like, and it's, you know what? He sucked against the Yankees and no one said anything. What they say is after he pitches well and sits there and gets all, like, he's trying to be funny. And then he goes on Rome. He goes, what's up with Xavier? He's like, he's crying. He's getting, you know, he's getting in. X. By the way, Jim Rome called David Price's kid Xavier X.
Oh, he called him X?
Oh, did he?
He goes, good here, X. Repping. David, so why are the comments coming from you?
Well, I got a personality, and I guess that's not okay anymore.
Great.
Get Jim Murray in for that.
Love that.
Love it. Giving no answer is great. How's Xavier?
Well, he's good. He's walking around now.
X. Sweet. All right. We will be back. And all of you, the phones just want to make fun of Sarge. And I'm not taking them.
Oh, it's fine.
I've never had a response. I'm not even asking for them, and they're coming in like hotcakes.
There are quite a few hanging out. I'm looking at them, yeah.
And we never get phone calls.
Good.
Wants to talk to Sarge. Wants to bash Sarge. Wants to defend Sarge. There's a defend on there.
Okay, we'll take the defending Sarge call. All right, no problem. All right, here's the CBS. Because there I might be like an amendum to it. I just want to defend Sarge because he's so dumb.
No.
It's almost like cruel to make fun of him. All right. The CBS Sportsman is brought to you by South Shore Bank.
Morning. Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive is Saturday, July 14th. Chachi started it. Donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western in Woburn. Raffles and games throughout the day. Walk-ins, welcome, or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. Our good friend Dick Donahue, a big proponent of this, as the donation of blood saved his life after the shooting during the marathon bombing. The Sports of American Red Cross Blood Drive Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. We can take one Red Sox call. Jake, go ahead.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
Hey.
So I want to talk about why the hell Jackie Bradley is still on this team. Hey, why?
Well, he's hitting 202. Cut him a little slack. He's way up to 202.
And
now,
by the way, when he made it to 200, there were writers that were like, peace out. They were like, see?
Yep.
Now, he made one of the great all-time throws. I can't remember the series. It was where it was a bullet from the warning track, and he got a guy
a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
it's after he let the ball bounce under his glove earlier in the inning.
I understand, but it was cool.
It was a nice throw.
It was a cool throw.
It's 103 miles an hour on the Statcast.
You know what? I love those, and I love the exit velocity off the bat.
Oh yeah, you like those?
Well, because they can tell you that the exit velocity is very good. So ignore the fact that they're hitting 180 because the exit velocity is so
good. Right. Yeah, good, strong exit velocity.
All right, go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, so exactly. So if I have to hear about how good he is again because he freaking rifles one in from center field after blowing a play, and that's the reason he belongs on the team, I'm going to lose it. You have Benintendi out in left field who's fully capable of playing center field. It's an absolute waste in left field at Fenway. You could play freaking left field there, and it wouldn't hurt him too bad. But I'm just so sick of him striking out with three runners on base in the seventh, followed by Matt Barnes getting blown up in the eighth. I want to see him gone for a relief pitcher or, at the very least, a platoon power hitter or something.
See, center field's a position where you can take you can trade off a little bit with their batting average. Not 200.
Right.
And like I believe shortstop, because I'm old school, shortstop in center field, you don't have to be an electric hitter. But you can't be a huge liability.
Right. And he is a huge liability. Like,
yes.
People will say, oh, well, he takes pitches, or actually he's got the good exit velocity, the OPS is pretty good. No, you can pitch to him and you can get him out in big spots. And like, I don't think batting average is the end all be all, but it's still important. Like, you still need to put the ball in play and get hits.
200's important.
Exactly.
And you can give me every advanced statistic, and I don't deny that they work. I mean, Epstein built the whole thing over there based on FIP, is how he treaded water until everyone came to be. I don't dismiss advanced statistics, and I understand for a short amount of time exit velocity, and he's just hitting it to the wrong places. He's hitting it at people.
Right, but this is 5.5 years.
Yes, and you can't hover around 200 for half a season. And by the way, he got hot.
Yeah.
And that got him to 200.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point where you just got to say, okay, he can't hit. Like, I don't care what his swing trajectory is and all these things. He just can't hit.
No. So I'm well established on I'm not really a fan of what he brings to the table. It's not even that I'm not a fan of it. I just think it's wildly overrated. I even think his defense is overrated, Fred.
Okay.
Like, I think he's a good defensive player. I think we act like he's the greatest. Some people act like he's the greatest defensive player you've ever seen, and it's like there are better defensive center fielders in his division. There's a couple of them. Pilar and Kiermaier are ridiculous. I don't even know how hard it is to find what he does on defense. And you can find that and certainly get better hitting. Pilar and Kiermaier are both better hitters in their sleep.
Yeah. So the defense of him, whenever he gets hot, I find odd. And I'm one of these people that's like old school National League fan, where if you give me a great defensive...
Yeah, you're the kind of person who might cut him slack.
Yes.
And people are still too much for you.
But everyone that I've cut slack... And I'll be Cardinal guy. Ozzie Smith and Molina learned how to hit. I mean, they did. I mean, they both became 300 hitters.
Yep.
John, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say, I think the Bruins, I mean, they got a good team, but they don't got a great team. I mean, they haven't really made any moves that make you lose your mind over, make you go wild. But I don't really blame Sweeney. I blame the owners, because I think they're just trying to get butts in seats. You know what I mean? They're not trying to do anything else. I mean,
but there's a cap.
I
mean, there's a cap. See, I wasn't here when the ownership was terrible and they were underspending. And I'll give you that. But I mean, there's a cap, and they're up. I mean, they spend to the cap. I don't really, I think Sweeney, they don't tell Sweeney like, hey, stay under, because they haven't. In fact, when Shirelli was here, they were paying everybody. They're paying fourth-line players $2 million a year for no reason. So, and listen, Sweeney, outside of his free agent signings, has been great. He's made the coaching decision, which was brilliant. They've developed and drafted players, which is how you win in the NHL right now. But they have this core group that I would hate to see not get another chance at a cup. And you only have a couple years left of it. Now, they're set up for the long term, but and it's funny just reminding people about this, because like when they're like, well, do you want to give up Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard? And it's like, it's about winning a championship. It's not about being good for 8 years.
Right.
Like, if you win a championship, then that's it.
Right. You can't trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett. Then you're one of those people sitting here going, right. Why would you give up this young guy? If you could trade Jaylen Brown for a stud, you should. If you're the Bruins, what's the Jaylen Brown equivalent with
like,
the Bruins?
Like DeBrusque or... Anyone but McAvoy. Any of the kids but McAvoy.
Right, because McAvoy would be Tatum. So, right, another one of the young guys on the Bruins, you can trade that, or maybe Krug, depending on the return. You could trade that, and it helps you win. It helps you compete with Tampa and Toronto, who are both better than you. You know, Tampa already is better than you. They were last year. Toronto was right there, and they added Tavares, who you wanted. You should be willing to do that.
And you should still be better than Toronto, and you should be able to make a move that's not even... You don't even have to make a crazy move to be better than Toronto, because Toronto's defense sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you can just be faster. I mean, Toronto, it was just flat-out speed. By the way, Jaffe will sit there and tell you how fast Char is, and he'll go crazy telling you how fast Char is, and you just got to sit there and go, okay.
You just gotta go, okay, he's real quick, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you don't get it. You're not at practice. No, I'm not.
I just watch the games when everybody else is faster than him.
Right. This is against Toronto, dude. He was getting blown out. Well, they're really fast. Well, yeah.
Oh, right. He's not.
Does Char deserve to be in the NHL? Yes. He deserves to be in the NHL. Absolutely. But don't give me the book on how quick he is.
You ever hear how tall he is on skates?
Have you ever heard how long his stick is?
Oh, he's got a nice reach.
He's got a he gets his stick out there, and it's funny because people have learned to avoid it. when you're skating backwards and just lunging,
right?
These kids nowadays have a way to get around it.
When you're 7 feet on your skates and you can't reach them with your stick, that means you're really slow. It means you're quite slow.
Yeah, He insists that he's fast, but it's interesting because I didn't talk anything about hockey with him. But a friend of mine that was at the house became enamored with Jaffe because the guy's like a weightlifter.
Was it about the? It wasn't about the Surratt stuff. It wasn't like he still lives.
No,
it wasn't that.
No, it was. He was enamored by him because like he lifts weights too.
Oh,
and he
got
was
it.
Just like. Like just like the more beers he drank,
he's like, yeah. What do you lift, bro?
The more. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Billy, hello.
Yeah, one of those.
All right, what's going on?
First of all, how much did my friend like fall in love with you over the course of the day?
As he drank more beverages, he became more lustful. That's all I know.
Oh, did he like you? Apparently in the car ride to the fireworks, he was just talking you up. He was just saying that how strong you are and everything. It was pretty funny.
It was Jimmy Barron. It was pretty much Jimmy Barron.
It wasn't, but Jimmy just looked upon. Jimmy is someone that anyone of any sex could have kicked their ass. This is a relatively large individual, but he was just impressed. All right, so what you were calling to do? What?
Listen. I said, Char, for a guy his size. Here's the thing: when you're drinking, you don't remember everything that it said. Okay.
Me?
You?
I wasn't part of the conversation.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You don't remember everything that was said.
Well, don't act like I was like annihilated and I don't remember. I'm barely paying attention.
Well, that's the point. Charles, for a guy his size, he's damn fast. Now, is he as fast as the other guys in the league? No. You guys can go off and you can, you know, but he's not a speed demon. That's not his game.
No.
Okay, I will agree with you on that. But people that want to rip him because, oh, he's so slow, he's awful. They don't know.
No one said he was awful, Jimmy. No, Jesus. Jaffe, no one said that. Adam and I both said he wasn't awful and that he deserved to be in the NHL.
Oh, that's great. He deserves to be in the NHL. Yes. Yes. So do 700 other people that make it to the NHL.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Billy, we said he deserves to be on the Bruins. He deserves his spot on the Bruins.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I don't know why I'm a dick for saying that. I'm agreeing with you.
You were saying, Jeff, I'll sit there and tell you he's faster. I'm telling you, for a guy his size, his skating is great, but that doesn't mean anything when he's getting, you know, if there's a, and we agreed last night that Toronto is a faster team. There's not even a question. The Bruins need to get faster.
We were just discussing that. That's exactly what we're just saying.
I'm telling you that I agree with you on that.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you were saying, like last night, you're saying that people have undervalued Krug, which we both agree with too, Adam.
Yeah, I think so. I think you got to be really careful if you make, you know, there's a lot of people out there just want to trade him, and I think, I don't know if you understand, or those people understand completely what you have there. And, you know, not perfect, going to have some defensive situations. Well, so have other players too. But you don't pick up 50-plus points in your back end easily. I mean, you do not pick up that easily at all. And anybody's out there, Fred, who says, well, his durability's in question because he couldn't make it through the playoffs 2 years in a row, that's a bunch of crap.
Yep.
Because you know what? He got throttled from behind, and your leg goes, I mean, you break a leg. You know, that kind of, I don't think that means that you're small. Didn't Brandon Carlo break his leg, too, and he's 6'5", 6'6"?
I completely agree with you on Krug. I wouldn't get rid of him. I mean, he's I mean, they were.
What about for, like, Panarin? You wouldn't get rid of him for Panarin?
Talk to me about the exact deal, and then, I mean, we're not playing hypotheticals. You'd consider, you'd consider that for a guy like Artemi Panarin. But just to say you gotta move Krug because
if you have an abundance of left shot defense,
right? Because you signed John Moore,
Because you signed John Moore, and now you got to get rid of him. I totally agree with you. And then, if you recall, the Bruins for years were chomping at the bit looking for a guy like Krug to play the point on the power play and a defenseman that could score. And now they got it, and. I would hate to get rid of him for a flyer, but yeah, I mean, if you got someone, you know, if you got a stud in return, that's one thing. But I mean, I'm not getting rid of him for Wayne Simmonds or something like that.
Exactly,
you know?
And got to remember, some people say, okay, well, all he does is the points. No, that's not true at all. And you know, again, I'm not saying that he's perfect in his own zone, but show me a D-man that is perfect all the time. But he breaks the puck out real well. His passing can be excellent. That leads to transitional opportunities. Might not always reflect in an actual point. I'm not saying that a guy like that, and we're all in agreement, he's not untradeable, but let's not be so flippant to just say he's just a move. I disagree with those that say that because I think that would be a huge void. You'd have a very hard time filling.
All right, so you just called in to bust my balls, and we agreed on everything.
Well, you know, the whole Chara.
Chara was fast. You said it yesterday.
I said he's faster. He is faster than people.
Well,
I'm
skinny for a fat guy. I mean, you know,
I don't know about that. You got but a great time at your house. Thank you very much.
We should do it more often.
Hey, man, you introduced salt to the PBRs. I've learned something new. And, yes, we should do it more often. I'll see you tonight.
Very
hard too,
good.
Huh? All right, take it easy. I heard you say that the other day. The salt on the PBR?
PBR, there is a man by the name of, if the program director here was here, he'd be so pissed that we're so far over the breaks. But it's July 5th, so let's all forget about that. Let's take it when it comes. So his name is Jesse James Dupree. He's in a band called Jackal that is absolutely terrible.
Okay.
They had the chainsaw song. I don't know if you recall that.
No, that's that one. No.
Well, they were a hair metal band of little importance.
Okay.
But he has a constant keg of PBR at his house. And in, much like a margarita glass, he'll dip the glass in the salt with salt on the rim.
Pop a little PBR in there.
And so I don't drink PBR very often, but Billy Jaffe's not doing so well right now, so financially, so he had to buy PBR. And so you take the can and you dip it in salt, and then you drink it, and it's it adds to the flavor of something that is ultimately unflavorful.
Huh. A little salt on the rim.
A little salt on the rim, my friend. All right, here are the headlines.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And this guy, Troy, has called into the station 1,602 times, and he has Sarge is back. If you're just joining us, people, for without anyone, without... I have not insulted Sarge one time today.
No, you've been pretty good.
Yeah, and how did it come up?
Just the listener's distaste for him. Just it came
well,
up randomly.
Well, that one guy...
Yes, and it started kind of an avalanche.
And it was my fault. I got hot, but you guys coached me through it.
You came in a little hot, yeah.
I was just at a bad night, so yeah.
Why? What happened?
I didn't have a lot of sleep. You know,
what were you doing?
I was watching the fireworks last night.
In Newton?
No, Boston.
You went to the Pops?
I didn't go to the Esplanade, but watching it over the city, though, so... Just you know, I need some sleep, but that's okay.
Need a little cat nap.
That's it, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Troy, go ahead. You would think after 1,602 times.
Troy. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, they don't even have the... All right. Well, here's some constructive criticism.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, first off, Sarge, man, nothing wrong with you, brother.
Thanks, pal.
I switched over from 103.7 to 98.5 because I love you guys. And listen, the only thing you got to do is just don't be as, you know, you can't live your life eating just white bread. You know what I mean? You know, switch it up. Go for a little nine grain. You know what I'm saying?
I like it, man. I like that. Thank you.
You know what I mean? You're fine, dude. Don't worry about that.
Thanks, buddy.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't worry about that. And the other thing, you know, I need to hear a little more about that little knucklehead, Sage. How's he doing, man? Come on. I need to hear some more slam poetry, Jim Rome.
Oh.
I mean, I need that. I need that in my life.
All right. I can do that for you. The exhaust pipe. Vroom, vroom, vroom. The garage door. Conk. On the radio, I am the walrus. Death overtakes me. Calmness. Then fear? No. Right decision? Word. Rack the decision to kill myself. Hey, government, how about taking a look at what's happening? People in the streets, bums. Hey, Jack, got a chance? Don't think so.
It's kind of a biting criticism on our current political
it's
climate.
Slam, it's slam poetry.
Yeah, it's just...
Hey there, Jack, with your white picket fence and 2.5 children, I got news for you. There's more to news than what you read in the paper. Check it out. It's called The Streets. Walk them one day. Talk to people. Mm-hmm. Not Graham and Gramps across the way. Talk to Joe Homeless. He'll tell you the score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk to someone who doesn't look like you in the mirror, yeah.
Well, mirror's got to be... the mirror. Hey, mirror, you're too high. Lower it. Or bring a stool in. Hey, public restroom. Nice try with the urinal. Like a urinal too high to pee. Splashback on my legs. Reminds me of so many cuts. Just to feel.
Just to feel.
I like how they have Goth Jim Rome already a graphic made.
Goth Jim Rome.
And by the way, Fred, your David Price impersonation, sneaky good.
It's not hard to do.
No, but, you know, Murray nails it. That was sneaky good.
Sneaky good.
Sneaky good, as Skunzelak would say, because usually they all suck, and then this one hit out of the park. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about how I think, Sarge, man, you started out the show, you started out when you were, when Fred was doing that, when Fred got a kick of that Sarge thing.
Yeah. That was about 3 years ago. Yeah, I've been in radio about 10 years, though, man.
Well, listen, I think you're kind of like
check
Mark
the resume.
Wahlberg.
12.
You know, like you're like Mark Wahlberg in the beginning. Like he was kind of a good actor.
Yeah.
Not really, but he was okay in like little spots.
Nice.
Now there's just too much of you, man.
No, that's cool.
Too much. It's just like, yeah. It's just you're cringy. Every time you do something, you're like that guy at a party. They're just like, oh, not there. You're just not good, man. Not good.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
It's a little more constructive criticism. It's been heavy on the constructive criticism.
Well, yeah. He's learning some things.
Yes.
Yeah. Taking my notes.
It's like immersion therapy.
It kind of is. It's fine.
John, you hate Sarge.
Oh, you know, hate is a really strong word.
Oh, boy.
Well, the reason why is when he says he doesn't care, and when anyone says they don't care what people say, they care.
No, everyone cares what people think. That is absolutely true.
Yeah, and it's so annoying to hear him say, no, don't care. And everything about him is fake, like whether it's he's a fan of wrestling. He pretends he's in the military.
No, I don't.
Stolen valor.
No. Stolen valor. That's the correct terminology.
You guys are both wrong.
Yeah.
You're both wrong on that. So, yeah. But go ahead.
Okay,
continue.
Can I finish, Sarge, before you get all...
No, I'm just interrupting my co-host here.
Stolen valor.
Oh, okay. And you just don't have a sense of humor about anything. You can't sit back and laugh at yourself. Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely ridiculous. I look like a total loser, or well, I have no sense of humor.
Has he not heard the bits that we've done? I mean, Fred, we've done a lot of good bits on the air here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I've made fun of myself numerous times, but that's okay. No, John, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I do appreciate it. You say that.
John, I'm telling you, I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's very disingenuous. You just can't laugh at yourself.
John, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm listening to you.
Oh my God. You're just a very... it's why you come across so unlikable.
Okay. Nice. Sorry. Thanks. I feel like John is my dad here or something.
Well,
God.
Boy, I hope your dad is not like that.
No, please.
But I'll tell you this, is that people will tell their kids, they'll go, who cares what anyone says? And then you go, everyone cares what some people say.
Right.
Like, if everyone's making fun of you and you're a kid, you can't just say, who cares what people say? Because you do. You care.
Right. It's like Brady's kid.
I mean, we're all human. But honestly, whatever.
No, the point is that you can't take it from listeners.
I'm taking it pretty good. Yeah, and I'm not.
Why don't they think you actually like wrestling? That's the second guy who said that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Yeah, whatever.
No, believe me, Sarge likes
wrestling. I was going to say that. Yeah. I feel like...
If there's one truth in the world...
That's exceptionally authentic, I feel like.
No, that is beyond authentic.
Myself and Jay Stu have the number one podcast in the company.
You do. You have about the number wrestling. And you cannot deny that at all.
Thank you, Fred.
Nope.
You cannot deny that. That is a fact. Well, Adam Jones, thank you.
Hey, I feel like this was... I really brought a lot to the table today. I feel like...
Well, listen, we...
it's a little darker in here now.
We had a lot of fun. And Sarge, I will see you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Fred.
Oh, you're back.
I've been with Fred all week.
He's here all week. Everyone's on vacation. Bertrand is going to be here with Christian Arcan.